You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
Never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
Welcome to the Orange is the New Black podcast. I'm your host, Ace Boogie, joined by my co-host, Zim. Zim, say what's up.
What's up, world? How y'all doing this evening? We got a really, really special show. I think I was talking to people and I said, hey, we need to get back to what we do best, and that's talking to the players. So we had to go right to the trenches. Starting left guard for the Bengals, my man Quentin Spain. How you doing tonight, Quentin?
I'm doing fine. How y'all doing?
Pretty good, man. Bro. Definitely ready for the season. Excited to see you kick things off.
Yeah, I'm excited too. I can't wait.
Right. Well, let me actually just jumping right into that. When you say you're excited for the season, you know, in the off season, what it besides actually playing the game, but what are some of the major moments, just taking people into the locker room, some things that maybe in the offseason you're like, man, I can't wait to get back with my guys. What are some of the best moments that you think, you know, playing professional football? People will never experience that.
It's I couldn't wait to get back to this year because it was a new team. It wasn't new, but it was basically new to me when I came in 8 weeks later last year, so to this year. So Getting comfortable with the guys in the room, the brotherhood, hanging out with each other, just getting to know each other's family and what they like to do outside of football.
Nah, that's fact. So, obviously, you came and started with the Tennessee Titans. You are undrafted. A great story that you have. You even have that tattered on your back. One thing I want to ask you is, you kind of were there for the ascension of Derrick Henry. And then you're also currently here with Joe Mixon. I don't think that you had, the opportunity to play with Mixon, but you practice with him. What would you say it's like to play with Derrick Henry versus a Joe Mixon?
When I first came in, I was with D-Hen, and he wasn't that D-Hen he is right now. He was D-Hen, but he's D-Hen right now. So, but. When I was with him, he was getting used to the offense of Tennessee because we came in together, so it was a little slow start. And plus, we had DeMarco Murray there when he got there, so he had to learn. So I played 3 years after DeMarcus left with D-Han, and that's when he improved, like, he had every down back. Like, he improved his receiving out the backfield, and he already had the power. So, and then when I came here, I didn't play with Knicks in the show, but when I was practicing with Knicks, I see how he a one cut back. He liked to get down here and just go. He make right. that one cut, and he can break he can break a long run just like Derrick Henry.
Right. I guess, like, in the locker room, right, just to kind of come off of that, when defensive players, like, without picking sides, do people talk about, like who going to tackle Derrick Henry? Like even back then, he might not have been what he is today, but, like, I know it ain't too many people that want to tackle Chubb. It ain't no too many people that want to tackle Mixon or D. Henry.
No, like, I'm not even going to lie, like, this thing we had in Tennessee, we block it up and make sure D-Han always one-on-one with a corner. So ain't no cornerback don't want to hit Derrick Henry the whole game. So once he, like, get to the corner, they got to make a decision. So if they're going to make the tackle or not, that's how you see how Derrick Henry get them, like, them long runs. Once you get through the second level, it's right. DBs. Most DBs don't want to hit no big 260 back running like he running the whole game.
Facts. Right. Nah, that's real. So when you were in Buffalo, you talked about the importance of not only bonding on the field but off the field with the rest of the offensive linemen. Is there anything that you've done with the linemen in Cincinnati where you guys have kind of strengthened that bond in the offseason that isn't just stuff in practice and building that chemistry on the field but also off the field?
We really didn't have a chance to, like, hang out all, like, last year because of the corona. So this year it got a little better. We had a dinner so far, so we look forward to having every week we have a dinner. Everybody got to pick a restaurant. We just gonna sit down, eat, and communicate, and just have that team bonding because we out there on the field together. So we got to be able to, like, be there for each other. We got to be able to trust that guy. You feel me? So getting to know them off the field, knowing what they like to do, it's like a brotherhood. You feel me?
Yes. I might be smaller, but I could talk about some food. Where did y'all go for the first dinner? Jeff Ruby. All right.
I feel like that's the only best steakhouse out here, but I like to try different places. Like, I'm not just stuck on just Jeff Ruby. I like to try different steakhouses, barbecue. Sure. Like, I like different food.
Speaking of barbecue now, there's a place. It's a place now. It's called Midwest Barbecue. Now, I know, like, I will say this. It's not going to be as fancy as Jeff Ruby's, but as far as, like, the boys having a place to themselves, play whatever y'all want, playlist, whatever, lit, like, shut down the whole thing for y'all, Midwest Barbecue, my boy Tim and Eddie, he going to make sure y'all get right.
I might gotta take the old line that was my turn to pay for dinner.
Right. Yeah. Hey, look, that's a nice little move. If they're watching this interview, they're gonna know you ain't pay nothing. But at the end of it, because I'm telling you, my boy gonna take care of you. I'm telling you,
if that happens, I'm still gonna give him a tip though, because we got a limit. Yeah. We got to spend. So.
Oh, okay. Respect. But yeah, for the remainder of your Bengals tandem, your Bengals, you know, history, however you want to put it, you're gonna be straight at Midwest Barbecue. So tell the folks to do that. My other question is that Jeff Ruby's, who put down the most steaks in there?
It's not the most steak. It's just like a family dinner. We order a lot of appetizers.
But somebody had to go in there dogging something though, right? It wasn't nobody
we just order different appetizers, right. Like, it's just like a family dinner. Like, they had a little pork belly. We got like 12 on. We just pick all. You feel me? Crab cakes, yeah. But yes, then you order your meal. So you order a steak. Some people don't order steak.
Right. One thing that I was talking to one of my boys before the season started, I said, is Xavier going to start on one side possibly, depending on the new draftee? But Spain. You had a tweet earlier in the offseason. I was trying to find it, but it was like you came into the building this year, and it was your spot. Did you know something that we didn't know, or was it just something in your head where you were just programmed to know, like, hey, look, I'm going all in, and I'm going to outplay everybody?
Now, see, I didn't know anything about like me starting, but I felt like I would have a shot because I've been in the league long, so they gave me my opportunity, and I just took it and ran with it because my whole career, it's been competition for me, so I'm used to it. So I still, like, I love it because it better me. So if somebody coming in to push me, it's better than me. I'm not going to get mad if I, like, lose a job or nothing because I know you doing that is better than me, so it's better than the team. So we both working together to get better. So I leave that to the coaches, and they make the decision.
Nah, that's fast. I was glad to see them move you back to left guard because we felt like that was the best position for you. So definitely congratulations on winning that battle. I want to talk about Petersburg, Virginia. Me and my wife, we had this conversation all of the time. Do you consider, I mean, technically it's supposed to be the South, but do you consider the area that you come from like the South?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, got you. So you also went to, it seems that you also went to high school with Trey Songz, I guess. Well, he didn't go, he went to your high school.
We went to the same high school. Trey Songz, Kenneth Langford, y'all probably know Jerome Mathis.
Yep.
Morgan Moses.
Oh.
So y'all had some people. Moses Malone, I believe, as
well. I mean Moses Malone. Morgan Moses went to Verona, so he was close to me. Me and him came out together, you feel me? When we played against each other, we sold out. We sold out the crowd, stadium. Yes.
And you used to also play some basketball. You was a center as well, right?
Yeah.
What happened the last game, man? Because y'all was running through everybody.
I lost 4 games out of my whole career in basketball. And I'm sorry. 2-1 was in the state championship, and 2-1 was in the state tournament. So we had a pretty good – we was a basketball school. We had a pretty good, like, roster my 4 years. We had a couple people went D1.
Okay. What I was going to say, I wanted to give – somebody in the crowd said it's his birthday, Stephen Hoffman, so you better retweet this whole entire interview if I'm giving you a shout-out on a quick Spain interview. So happy birthday. And we got Q to give you the shout-out, so you know you better tell everybody, you know, the RT that just I guess talk to me about just some of the different things from technique. And I know you probably answered this before, but I think a lot of people that kind of watch the film or seen you've gone from a different O-line coach to now Frank Pollock. Talk to me about like the difference in technique from last year to this year.
See, last year when I got here, it was late in the season, so it really was just game planning, that practicing, like it wasn't preaching technique and stuff like that. So I had to do it on a run, like I had to do what I known to do. So when I got there in that inside zone, outside zone, whatever I was taught before, I just took that and ran with it while I was there. So this off season, working with Coach Paula and got a whole 4 year under my belt, it brought me back to remembering that technique can't save you out there on that field. Like you can have the talent and all, you if you got bad technique, you're gonna get beat. You feel me? So I took a step back and listened to him when he came in because his technique, the same technique I was getting taught in Tennessee.
Okay.
And so it brought me back to my comfort zone. So him doing that, it really helped me.
I know you were saying on the in when you first got there or just all of that, it was just like, let's play. Walk people through, like, just particularly, I wanted to ask you this. Going into that Tennessee game, like, because that's a big game for, like, the fans to, like, for a more optimistic fan. We always kind of point to that game and say, look, we took it to Tennessee in that game. But I always look at it from your perspective. It's like, this guy just arrived. And then, like, so, like, what was that, like, the 2-3 days that, like, how long were you even on the roster before you even played in that game?
See, when I came, you know, last year for the corona, you had to sit in the hotel for like 5 days.
Right.
Getting tested every day for 5 days. So once I like got clear, I had Friday, fast Friday, a Saturday walkthrough, and then I stayed at the hotel Saturday night. I woke up, and the coach told me to come in the building. So I'm planning like I ain't playing because I just got him, but we had a lot of injuries. Line, so it was a whole new starting four, and just Jonah was the only one starting. That's what I knew when I came.
Right.
So I come in. Coach told me to come meet him in the stadium, like 2-3 hours before the game. And he was just upstairs. He told me, man, you might got a chance. You gonna play? I'm looking like, all right, I'm gonna play. Yeah. All right. So we went upstairs. He was going over the game plan, and we was going over to Caden. And then next thing I know, the first series, he said I wasn't gonna start, but he said the dude was there longer, so he gonna start him. We gonna rotate each series. So happening, he jumped offside the first series, and then they threw me in on the second series. And then once the second series over, they just told me to stay in there. They liked what was going on. So after that, it was just
– it was a wrap.
He brought that aggression. He brought that aggression.
Before that game, right? Now, I know this is – Joe is still there. Joe is still there.
Yeah.
But for that game, for the person that says that the offensive line, like – I hate the narratives behind it, because if people watch offensive line play around the National Football League, it's been a big difference from college going to the NFL, where some guys it's just a different state of affairs where some of these guys just aren't prepared like they used to be, I guess. And around the league, the play isn't like at this optimum level that they think. But for that particular game, I think for everybody, the pushback was very relevant. Like, I'm just looking at it at home and just saying, like, man, the line of scrimmage, they are absolutely, like, killing. What is the difference between that game versus any of these other games where some of these games where the offensive line as a unit just didn't perform as well?
See, I felt it was a different. I do. It was a different because them guys were given another shot as an opportunity to pick – good tape out there, good film out there. So I feel like they was hungry that game. Oh, it's four new starters. So they was hungry. So I feel like, and then I feel like everybody wanted, you feel me, like to get work, pick work in. So everybody was on the same page. We were communicating and all that. But that's a big part of the offensive line. It's not just one person. It's right. Like if one person miss a block, it affect the whole offensive line. So we got to be able to trust each other, going back to trust each other, knowing that he going to be at that spot. He going to take the proper technique. He going to use, you feel me? Don't jump off sides. He going to use good hand placement. He going to be right beside you. If he got the help responsibility, you got to know that he going to be right there. You feel me? It's just different. Like, but now since we got Paulie, he's so big about it. Like, all five of us playing together, like it's one person mess up, he don't call that person out. He call all us out because we're a unit.
Nah, that's
we
fact.
Only strong as the weakest. We're only strong as the weakest person we got.
Can you talk about what the addition of Riley Reiff has been just for the offensive line in the locker room?
It's been big. He's been in the league, 10 years? So you just got to take that knowledge from him too. Like he's been the oldest in the room, so he know what's to do. It's hard to be in the NFL. You've been in for 10 years. You're doing something right. So, like me, I've been in 6, going on 7, but I still pick his brain, too, just for me to know how can I make my career longer? What is you doing that can help me make my career longer? Like, Riley, the first person in the building every day, I was an offensive lineman. Like, I see it every time I come in, his car already parked. He already rehabbing. He already doing stuff to get his body right. First person on the field. At practice, he always 20 minutes before everybody at practice. So, again, me, like, I'm not like an early person at practice, but now I be out there, you feel me, like 10, 15 minutes early too now, and I just ride the bike, do something, you feel me, just loosen up to show them that you focus, you ready.
Facts.
It's crazy you said that too, because I don't know if it's the outside media or what. It's a large amount of people that I feel like are just saying, well, Riley Reiff would just be here like this year. I'm like, why do y'all feel that way? I feel like Riley Reiff going to be playing, and everything that I seen from camp or whatever, and then now you confirming that, hey, look, he's the first man in the building. Like, I feel like he's going to be a big part of this offensive line for, like, more than this year. But for whatever reason, everybody thinks that this is just – like a one-stop shop, and I'm like, I don't think so.
You can't forget. Riley was a Pro Bowler. He was an All-Pro.
Right.
Come on. It's hard to be an all pro. So he know what it takes. So I never been all pro. You feel me? A pro bowler. I'm trying to pick it.
You played at pro bowl level now though. You played at pro bowl level.
I did, and I ain't gonna lie, and it decreased sometimes. It decreased a little bit, but I know that I can do good things to help the team win no matter what. Like my mindset, like I always been battle tested. Like that's not nothing gonna make me fold. You feel me? I'm gonna attack the day every day. How I want to be. Let my name be out there.
That's real. Without giving away too much, is there any matchup that you're looking forward to week one, like that you're going up against with Minnesota?
I'll take nobody for granted. I attack the week, every game the same way. Like it's the NFL. Everybody good, man. Everybody trying to expose you, trying to, you feel me? You guys got to win your one-on-one. So at the end of the day, it's about winning your one-on-one. Because you can be a third screen, second screen. Like, you battling all the one, and then they get a sub and put a third screen, like a second screen in, and you mess up a play. They get a side. You feel me? Then they
right.
That's a good game for them, you feel me?
Right.
Out of the whole game, they get one side. It's a good game.
Yeah.
Right. But when we blocking, you feel me, 67 plays a game, and we give up two, three plays, we had a bad game, you feel me?
Right.
It's different as an offensive lineman to a defensive lineman, so you feel me?
offensive line and cornerback, I say that on the show every single week. You give up one play, one rep is all it takes for somebody to know that. And then they be like, oh! He's terrible. I'm like, dude, but he was solid.
They don't see the rest of the 60 snaps you took. You feel me? They just see them bad plays. Like we get a holding call, he holding or something like that. But what about them other 59 plays?
Right.
Facts.
And what about all the other plays that they probably could have called holding on for the opposite team it's crazy. Amongst yourselves, amongst the offensive line. What is the feeling like right now? What do y'all have discussion-wise when you talk about, like, Joe Burrow? Like, seeing him going down, seeing what happened to him this last season, and then coming into this season, is there anything that you all talk among yourselves about and just say, hey, look, this part of this could never happen again, or this or whatever? Or do y'all even talk about the Joe Burrow injury at all?
No, we don't talk about it, but we know what we have to do. Like, coming into this season, the talk was about the offensive line protecting Joe Burrow. So at the end of the day, we don't got to talk about it. We know what we had to do. We got to protect now. It don't matter how long it is. We just got to protect now. The franchise quarterback.
This is one thing I would like to see, and I think you the dog of all dogs for this. One thing that used to really really piss me off is like last year. Joe would get knocked out or hit late. They don't call nothing. And guys weren't even helping him out. Now, this is probably prior to you coming in. Yeah, the Eagles game, Ben. If you ever watch the tape on that game, that's probably one of the worst beatings I've ever seen on a quarterback. But as a viewer, us watching at home, I kept on saying, bro, why don't they, like, stick up for him or, like, get up in somebody's face? That's one thing that I would like to see. Like, somebody got to be an enforcer or something.
It's different. Like, I've been telling the group, like, it don't matter. You protect. If the quarterback is getting knocked down and you around them, let's help them up. That's your quarterback, even the running back. You see them on the bottom of the pile, you close to the running back, help them up. They see that. They see, like, oh, he'll go to war with me. Like, you helping them up. He see, like, all right, he in this. Like, it's a little thing. Like, if you leave him on the ground, he's going to feel like, oh, man, this man don't care, bro. He don't care about, like, the team. You feel me? So, I'm big on that. Like, if I'm around the quarterback, I'm picking him up. If I'm around the run, I'm picking him up. It take less energy for him to get up. If you helping him up, then he's trying to get up. It take more energy for him trying to get up after a big run. Let's help him up.
Right. That was one of the things, like, that. Everybody can say whatever they want about offensive line play, but that was one of the one things I just kept on saying is, like, they got to help them up or they got to, like, stick up for them on some of them instances. And that Eagles game. It was a couple other games where I felt like guys were taking late shots, and it wasn't no repercussions for them.
Any late shot, we no matter what.
Man,
sir.
Yeah.
We can't have no cheap shot. If we're going to play the game, we can't let no cheap shot go off.
Right.
Nah, that's facts. That's facts. So one thing Zen wanted to ask, we saw that you had tweeted something last week, I think in response to CLB. So if you had to choose between the Donda album or CLB, which one are you choosing?
I'm going Drake, man. I'm going Drake.
Hey, Zen ain't gonna like that
one. I got to go Drake. I got to.
You don't got to do that.
Yeah, I got to.
I'm going to tell you this, in about – what's today? What's it, September something? About a month from now, just like any, and I love Drake.
Let me tell you the reason why. Cause when I'm listening to that Kanye West, it feel like I can't.
You feel like you're in church? You feel like you're in church?
Yeah. All right.
But this is the thing. I did this for Ace. I do this for all my friends. I cut off like 10 songs because it's too many songs. I do agree on that. Yeah. But hits.
And he jipped everybody.
How did he jump?
Album release day, he even come up with the album.
Man, that's just marketing. Look, you gotta cut off some of them extra songs. I feel you, but the hits, like the songs with Roddy, the songs with y'all boy Lil Baby. All the songs, like them is hits. Like them smash hits.
I would listen to them, but I'm not listening to the, you feel me?
To the rest
of them. Yeah. All
right. But see, this is the thing. As a man of faith, and I know you strong in your faith too, I'm going to tell you, it's going to come a point, it's going to be a game, you're going to walk out of the game and say, damn, I should have did more work. You know what's going to happen? You're going to have to cut that damn Donda on, and you're going to get your inspiration. You're going to be like, you know what? You're going to stand up and be like, thank you.
No,
nope,
I'll cut that
rod wave on. You said you're gonna cut
that rod wave on. You and my man, who is that? Kyle guy. All right, so Kyle now plays for Golden State. We interviewed him. I think he gave me like a bunch of rod wave songs or whatever. He was like, ain't nobody late night, drop the top, ain't nothing like rod wave. And I was like, all right, bro.
At all times you can put it on, don't gotta change the song.
So Ace, with that, you're going to have to ask him his top five.
I got
to
get your top five, bro. Top five rappers.
If you want to count Rod Wave as a rapper, he my number one. I'm going Lil Durk. I've been on Lil Durk before he came famous. Before
he blew up.
Blew up. And I'm going Lil Baby.
Okay.
I'm going Future.
Okay.
It's whatever after that.
He L's up for the hitters dirt. He day one dirt.
Yeah, I'm day one. Yeah, drill dirt.
Yes, sir.
That's another conversation. Me and Ace privately we argue about that. Well, I don't think you really argue
into it with Darius Phillips. Remember, Darius Phillips was talking about y'all was talking about Key versus Dirt.
Yeah, I'm all right.
I'm Dirt. I'm
a day one Sosa. Like Dirk can't do nothing with prime Sosa. Like, nah, that's not even
Sosa had them hits.
You start going back to them. The drill time you talking about with Dirk. Go back to Back from the Dead. Like them, no skips, everything just man. All right.
You're true. but Dirk. What Dirk did though, people weren't messing with Dirk. Dirk had to, you feel me? He was doing that love song, that pain stuff. You feel me? And they tell me, no, that ain't Dirk. But now you see him doing the same thing. Now Dirk just blew up. You feel me?
Right.
So why y'all weren't messing with Dirk back then?
I was messing with Dirk back then. I was messing with him when he was with Reese at Def Jam. I remember that. When he was rocking with Louis and them, I was on him.
With Dave Lowe.
Hey, he really. Hey, look, I haven't been a Dirk hater, but I respect Dirk's moves every single time. It's just for me personally, it's just man, there's no album that you could put to me up against any the Sosa Finally Rich. There is nothing that you could put up against Finally Rich. I got every song.
I got one question. What about Polo G though?
Polo G. That's
so. Polo G gonna have to be in your top five.
Yeah, five. He can be the five.
He can be a five.
He can be five.
Polo G. Nah, I'm with that. He like that too.
I used to, man. Polo kind of give me vibes too. When I remember, I used to listen to Louis a lot.
Yeah, King Louis. Yeah.
So King Louis, like, around, like he kind of gave me that, but he's a lot more lyrical. And I think Polo G just thought like he ain't even scratched the surface on what he.
Ever did. Since that three headed goat song,
that's it.
That just changed it for me. Yeah.
For sure. Going back to football a little bit. We can talk this rap stuff all day. Like that's nothing. But just going back to football, like, let me ask you, do you have any expectations for this upcoming season that you want to share with the people, like maybe some goals that you have?
Man, my goal is, I want a winning season, make the playoff, you feel me? But individual goals for me, I just want at least to get my name back out there like it was when I first came in the league and show the NFL that I'm here. I'm not like no backup, no, you feel me, old vet.
Or journeyman.
Yeah, no journeyman. Definitely not.
No journeyman. You're right. No journeyman.
Right.
So, like, my goal is just trying to make something, like, make the top 100 do something. Something that I never accomplished since I've been in NFL. Something different.
Do you think it's possible? I was talking to one of my partners earlier today. He said, man, I think that the Bengals could score 30 points a game. And now from a fan standpoint, I could see that happening. But I was telling him that if you score 30 points a game, you're going to a Super Bowl appearance. But, like, looking at all the people that you got around you, seeing what you're seeing, being on the teams that you've been on, do you think that that's even, like, you know, 28 to 30 points a game? Do you think that's possible?
It's possible, but, you know, it's any Sunday, anything can happen, you feel me? Like, it can be the worst team in the NFL playing against the good team in the NFL. You don't know what the outcome of the game will be because they might just sleep on that team. That team come out balling, you feel me? So I feel like we can pick up 30 points a game with the weapons we have and the defense we have. I think we can do that, but we all have to be on the same page in order to accomplish that goal if we're going to do that.
Facts. That's real.
Somebody is that Luke? That's my boy Luke. No, he said, ask Q how many pancakes are you trying to get this year? And he ain't talking about food.
I don't even count the pancake. I'm just trying to get like this win my one on one. If a pancake happened, it happened. Like, I'm out there being aggressive, something like they grown men too. They get paid too, so they not trying to get dumped on the ground. You feel me?
Facts. Well, Quinn, I just want to wish you the best of the luck this season, bro. You definitely have the whole city of the Natty behind you, and we appreciate you for stopping by the Orange is the New Black podcast, bro. Before you get out of here, though, I know that you just restarted your Instagram and your social media stuff.
Bro,
let the fans know where they can find you at.
On Twitter, you can find me at Mr. Undrafted. Always happy, Mr. Undrafted. And I just got a new Instagram. It's Quentin_Spain.
So y'all be sure to follow Quentin on that. Appreciate
I'm about to
you, bro.
Right now.
Yes, sir.
I'm about to make a call too. We're gonna get Rod Wave at one of these games too. We're gonna have
you see Rod Wave coming down here.
Hey,
he's coming down. He performed in Cincinnati, downtown Cincinnati.
You want to stay here?
Yes, sir. Right after practice, I'm in there. Yes, sir.
He got it all mapped out. You gotta send me a favor. Send me a video or something. You gotta send me something. I gotta see you turning up to that.
Hey, no, I'm trying to get him a signed jersey too. I'm trying to get.
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to connect with him.
I'm
a businessman, man. I'm trying to feel him to get my face out there.
Yes, sir. I feel like when this whole football thing is over, like, you could just have your own club, your own venues or whatever, and just be your own damn bouncer for real.
Not no bouncer, but I was thinking about opening up a little hookah lounge, like, restaurant hookah lounge at night.
Cincinnati, on my background, I'm from D.C. I live in D.C. Ace is currently in Florida. He's from the Natty, but when I go there, you're right. There ain't too many. I don't hit. There's some lounges, but I don't know.
Yeah, too many lounges. Yeah,
I don't know too many. Now I seen the boys the other night. One of my boys does some promoting, so I seen a lot of the gang in there the other night too. But that was like a club. You know, like you got had the chill.
What club? I didn't even know y'all had spots out here like that.
Oh yeah,
they got some spots out there.
We're gonna talk. You say you're a businessman. I could connect some dots now. Like that, there ain't no problem. I got a couple promoter / club connects or whatever. Make sure. But talk to the other night. It was Mixing, TB, Jamar Chase. It was a couple boys. Like, yeah, I seen them boys turning up.
They
leaving you out. You back. You walk up to them like, why y'all leaving me hanging? We supposed to be a family. And like, yeah, right. And then you can walk in there and force, and you know, everybody gonna move the hell out the way.
I ain't looking for. I'm vibing. If I'm in there, I'm just vibing. Damn. I'm out the way. I'm in the back. I'm just vibing. I'm just like right. I like listening to drip music, man.
For sure, yeah, for sure. But yeah, I could feel the love. I love the energy that you brought. I love the energy that you bring to the team every single time you step out there. I love your mindset. I appreciate you. I think you're an amazing man. I think you, the fan base needs to hear from you. I don't remember, but seeing you talk to us a couple times, so I had to reach out and say, man, I need this guy to, you know, put the smile on the internet for him real quick. So I'm really, really appreciative of you having some time to come and do this with us. And I'm wishing you a great year. I know you're gonna be successful, and it's time, baby. It's time to get these doves now.
All right, thank you. No problem at all. Appreciate the time again, Mr. Spain, Mr. Undrafted. I'm Ace Boogie. He is M Hude. And of course, we have to end this with a yes.
Sirski!
Hello, world. What separated your deep ball from everybody else?
My deep ball, it has a little secret sauce to it, man.
I never get too high, never get too low, but just keep moving.
The whole story is Carlos never beat me in any kind of sports in high school.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.